Hello, my name is Rob Grace, and welcome to the Barking Toad Trivial Pursuit podcast, or BTTPP, the podcast where Matt McCauley and I take a random Trivial Pursuit question card, go away, do some research, and come back with some facts, some nonsense, and everything in between. This is Season 3, Episode 8, and in the first part, Matt treats us to some football song lyrics, whilst I introduce the most flamboyant dentist ever. Because that's what you want in a dentist, isn't it? Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to BTTPP Season 3. And we are now on Episode 8 of Season 3. And
the longest season ever.
It seems to go on and on and on and on and on and on.
It's just because of the time breaks between the episodes.
And on.
It's still the same number of episodes.
And on.
But we're just taking our time about it.
And on and on and on. So Episode 8. We were ready to go for Episode 8, for this episode. Was it last weekend?
The weekend before.
Mm-hmm. We were all good. To the point where I was actually here with everything set up and done, ready to press the button, and then it didn't happen. So that's why it goes on.
That would have been my fault.
And on, and on, and on. So I think, because there's been such a big gap between the last time we did it and now, as seems to be the way that we do things at the moment, should we just crack on?
Yeah, let's crack on.
I think we should crack on. Are you... Right, so, anybody who didn't hear Episode 7, we did that one slightly differently in the fact that we didn't research anything, and we winged it. And it didn't come out too bad.
No,
I think it was all right.
Limited opportunities to learn anything from
there. Yeah.
Hey, and what's new?
And everything that we said, you know, could be taken with a huge salt cellar full of salt, because I don't know how much was true and how much wasn't, but there we go. But for Episode 8, we have put in the effort. We've done, or at least I, to a degree, as much as we ever do. So I think, without further ado, I will take a wedge out of the bag for you all. Before we do, I better not put all of the wedges in the bag, because some of them are mine.
No, some colours.
Yeah, so I'm blue, yellow, and purple, so we won't put those in. I will just put yours in, which are pink, orange, and green. Mm-hmm. And coming out of the bag, your first subject is pink.
Pink.
And the question there was, what U2 song plays in the background of the famous Friends episode where Ross tries to get Rachel back after they were on a break? And the answer is...
With or Without You.
With or Without You. Fantastic. So I know you're a huge Friends fan. Where did you go with this?
I looked at U2. I looked at some things.
What,
about
us two?
No.
Me too.
You too.
Okay, you looked at me as well?
Yeah.
Excellent. Fantastic.
And found out some not very interesting facts about them. But there was one thing that stood out.
Okay.
Did you know that The Edge, who is one of the U2 gang members,
yeah,
he wrote and performed a 1990 World Cup song for Ireland?
Did he really? I didn't know that, but that makes sense because they are an Irish band, mm-hmm. don't they?
Yeah. The song was Put 'em Under Pressure.
Put 'em Under Pressure.
Yeah, do you remember it?
No.
Right, a lot of this is going to hinge on your ability to remember songs related to football and by footballers.
Okay, so this is a challenge. Okay, here we go then.
Yes. So I've got a number of different songs that have been done by footballers.
Okay.
Or by football teams.
Yeah.
Or by people associated with football. I've left it quite loose.
Okay, yeah. I like that.
This is a game. I'm going to read out the lyrics, then I'm going to stop, and you fill in the last line and tell me who it's by.
Oh, okay. This could be really poor. Okay, go.
Okay, give so we'll start off with an obvious one.
Okay.
Right. He got a custom Continental. He got an Eldorado 2. He got a 32 gun in his pocket full of fun. He got a razor in his shoe. And
is this actually a football song, or is this just something that's written by a footballer or sung by a footballer?
A song performed by a footballer.
Performed by a footballer. I haven't got a clue.
Think gangster. I mean, look.
What, Vinnie Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't even know he'd done a song.
It was awful.
Well, yeah. Well, it will be. It's Vinnie Jones. It's not going to be Burt Bacharach, is it?
Wouldn't it be ironic if he did sound like Burt Bacharach? Yeah. That's Vinnie Jones. And the final line, which you failed to get, was, and he's bad, bad Leroy Brown.
Oh, okay. See, that suits Vinnie Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But we've not got off to a flying start.
No,
have we
haven't. I'm going to be particularly poor at this. I can tell you right now.
Well, you're into football. I thought this would be right up your street.
But it's not really something that combines well, is it? It never has done. Football and music never.
Well,
have.
We shall see.
We'll see. Bear in mind, we're talking vaguely popular music here, and I don't do popular music.
Fair enough. You say vaguely popular. It is really vaguely.
Vaguely music.
Yeah. Okay.
Got it.
Here's the next one. Got it.
Don't know that one.
Got it. No.
Sounds like a train.
I've got news for you, babe. All the things that you do, babe, made me think of how it used to be. And it looks like I'm falling all over again.
Barry
is not the right answer.
Ah, damn it. Manon.
No.
It
looks like I'm falling all over again.
Stick it in the mixer.
No, close.
Go down the channels.
No. You've come away.
Is it Diamond Lights?
No.
Okay.
Is Head Over Heels in Love With You?
Oh, of course.
By?
George Best.
No, this is one of the few footballers that I've actually heard of.
Oh, okay. So what era are we talking?
80s, I reckon.
80s, okay. Chris Waddle?
No. Curly hair.
Steve McManaman.
Curly hair.
Oh, Kevin Keegan.
Yes, Kevin Keegan.
Oh, excellent. I would love it if we beat them. Love it.
that's a fella.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, this one you're definitely going to get.
Okay.
This one.
Is it Diamond Lights?
Yes. that has just taken the wind out of my sails there. We're going to do it anyway.
Okay.
I'm going to make you keep repeating the title of the song now.
I can't believe it.
Eyes that freeze like ice, cold electric blue, those...
Diamond Lights.
Now we're getting it. Darling, I love you, my...
Diamond Lights.
I'll always want you, darling, I love you, my...
Diamond Lights.
I'll always need you, oh darling.
Manon.
Yes. Okay. And that was by?
That was Chris Waddle and Glenn Hoddle.
Yes.
Excellent.
Now, why didn't they call themselves Shahoddle Waddle?
Well, exactly. Chris Waddle. Do you remember that on the Fast Show?
No.
You know, the Methethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethetheth You remember that thing? And at one point they had some like opera singer on, and she's singing this song, and it was Scotcho and all that sort of stuff, and then suddenly comes out and Chris Waddle.
Do you know what? I could really watch all that again. Oh, that was brilliant.
It's so good. Anyway, right, yeah, so that's Diamond Lights.
Okay, here's the next one.
Okay.
It's Neville to Campbell Campbell to Rio Rio to Skolsey Skolsey, Gerald Gerald.
Gerard.
Gerard Gerard.
Yeah.
To Beckham Beckham to Heskey Heskey to Owen to Nod.
Is that Vindaloo?
No, no, but it's quite similar.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that. I was trying to think of that era. It's not going to be the It's Coming Home one, is it?
No.
It's a World Cup one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Neville to Campbell Campbell.
Yeah, and it's just basically just passing it round the players, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Sung by two people who are not footballers.
Okay. The Lightning Seeds. No, they're because they did. Two people. Were they an act themselves that?
Yes.
You know. Yeah. Right. Okay. So they were a duet.
Yeah. Well, yes.
All right. Okay. Okay. Simon and Garfunkel.
No, it wasn't.
Damn it. Okay. No, I'm going to have to pass on that one, I'm afraid.
Okay, that was Anton Deck.
Oh, of course. Do you know what? Ironically, I thought of Anton Deck earlier for the previous one. Yeah.
And I had to watch the video for that just to get the lyrics.
you do commit yourself when you do this research,
don't
you?
It was horrendous. The video, it was about Anton Deck replacing the management team.
Oh, okay.
So they were disguised as the managers.
Oh, okay.
And actually, at one point in the build-up to the video, I still can't get over this, Ant tells Deck he's a terrible driver.
Oh, was that prophetic?
How wrong.
Was that a prophecy?
Yeah.
But, Ant told Deck. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Right, that's so hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Writ large. Yeah.
Okay. How about this one?
Just move your mic in just a little bit, because it's.
How about this one then? Tell it like it is. Today we'll take the time to tell you what your night might bring. They spur you on in London town when you hear those Geordies sing, sing.
Is it Fog on the Tyne?
It is Fog on the Tyne, yeah.
And that would have been Gazza.
That was Gazza,
excellent.
Yeah.
And maximum points.
Yeah.
Yay. Fog on the Tyne is all mine, all mine. Fog on the Tyne is all mine.
One member of the Lindisfarne band actually left because of that song.
Why?
Because it was a shit song.
Of course. It was Gazza singing Fog on the Tyne.
Right. Okay.
Go ahead.
Next one. All right, Aldo. Sound as a pound.
Just a second. Yeah. For some reason, you're not picking up very well in the mic. Let me just have let me just have a little bit of a tweak here. So, so after that little technical hitch, hopefully we're back now.
Yeah.
And we can hear you. So
okay.
Carry on then.
I'll read the lyrics again. All right, Aldo. Sound as a pound. I'm cushy, la, but there's nothing down. The rest of the lads ain't got it sussed. We'll have to learn them to talk like us. Well, I'm rapping now, rapping for fun. I'm your goalie, the number one. You can take the mick, don't call me a clown. Any more lip and you're going down. All right, Ace, we're great, me and you. But the other lads don't talk like we do. No, they don't talk like we do. Do they, la? We'll have to learn them to talk proper. Walk on.
So that's the Anfield rap.
Yes.
And that was done by the Liverpool team of 1990-something.
Yeah.
And it was Bruce Grobbelaar doing the goalkeeper bit. And I think there was, what's his name? John Barnes, who did the rappy bit in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not Shakespeare, is it?
It's not, you know, really, no.
Yeah.
And hugely embarrassing to watch.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that you sort of sit there and watch and go, oh, God, no, really? Did they really make them?
They really did. They really did. But then I cheered myself up by watching some proper sport-related videos of songs.
This explains what you sent to me.
And you have to admit that rugby league teams doing songs are better.
No, that was utter dog toffee, the whole thing. The whole thing. All sporting things like that should be left. Sport and music should be separated.
I'm not so sure. I like it.
There's a thing at Cheltenham Town, right? So there's a chant that Cheltenham have done ever since I've been going there. I don't know how long it's been going on, but ever since I've been going there. And it is a chant that the Cheltenham fans sing, and at the end of it, they sing Cheltenhamshire. So it's Cheltenhamshire, la la la, Cheltenhamshire, la la la, right?
Right.
Now, somebody in infinite wisdom has tried to do like a crowd pep up thing before the game starts, and they've done a version of this, just the music, not the chant, just the music that goes with it at the beginning, but they've done it on what sounds to be a Casio organ.
No.
So it's all tinny and awful and really bad timing, and it's just do 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 do. So it just sounds shit. You know what I mean? When you've got a whole bunch of football fans chanting it, it sounds okay. But when it's just tapped out on a Casio organ, it's just, oh God, really? Yeah. So.
But the Wigan ones, they were pretty good.
They were.
Were they not?
No, they were awful.
I've been fooling myself.
Yeah, no, you can't be blinded by your Wigan fanaticism.
But it's,
you can't let that blind you to the quality.
It was to the tune of Uncle Joe's Mint Balls.
But it's just, yeah, but no.
Okay.
There are never any football lyrics or rugby lyrics, sporting lyrics that work well music-wise.
Well, I'll just take you back to Diamond Lights.
Yeah, exactly.
You knew exactly what it was. You mentioned it before I even mentioned it, which means it's got to be good to live on memory.
It's in my conscience. It's got nothing to do with whether it's good or bad. It's just emblazoned in my mind because I remember watching Chris Waddle and Glenn Hoddle on Top of the Pops with their like Miami Vice look suits on, mm-hmm, and singing this song and just cringing.
Yeah, they looked a bit
the
like
seriousness sort of it.
Was, you know, a kind of a wedding karaoke.
Exactly.
A couple of like slightly nervous uncles.
Exactly.
Who've been asked to go up and do the karaoke.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's how it felt. It sort of makes your skin crawl a little bit.
Whereas Vinnie Jones with Bad Bad Leroy Brown, he actually looked like he thought he was good.
I can imagine that didn't sound too bad, but I haven't actually seen it.
It sounded awful.
Did it? Okay.
He kind of thought that he was the bollocks when he was doing it. You could just tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where that took me. I like that. So you went from U2 to piss poor songs.
To the Anfield Rap.
Excellent. Cool. Do you know one thing that annoys me about U2 is, among many other things, but when I had an iPhone many years ago, this was at the time, do you remember when U2 decided they teamed up with Apple and released
everyone
an
a
album,
free album?
Gave the album to everybody who had an album, whether they wanted it or not.
I remember that.
Yeah. And it was, and you couldn't get it off. Even if you wanted to take off, you couldn't get it off. Eventually, Apple had to like update their software so that you could remove it if you wanted to. I mean, the utter arrogance of thinking that everybody who has an iPhone is going to want a U2 album.
And I reckon that's what killed U2, because after that, have you heard of them? Have you?
I don't even know that they still exist.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm hoping that they're like poor people in a Dublin pub somewhere trying to make up for the fact that they now no longer have any money.
Was it Bob Geldof who said that Bono was just a really, really good pub singer?
Oh, I don't know. That's a pretty thing to say. I wouldn't go that far. But because the thing is, there are some half decent U2 songs out there.
Oh, I love a load of U2 songs.
They're not wholly bad. It was just the arrogance of we're going to put our album on every single iPhone.
I know what the world would love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, forcing our music on them. Right, so excellent. We like that. So your turn to choose a colour for me. Now this could be. My research went a little bit sort of up now, but I do have Google reviews.
Purple.
Okay, what was purple? Right, okay, now. So we're starting this. I said to you, didn't I, in the week that I had an individual that I'd stumbled across that could be
fairly
significant. Sadly, I'm going to get it out of the way at the beginning.
Right,
okay. The first one. So the question was, what is the man holding in the Grant Wood painting, American Gothic? A child, pitchfork or map?
Pitchfork.
And it is a pitchfork. So do you know the painting American Gothic well?
It's the owl couple in front of the barn, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So I said earlier, can you see my screen? So there is a picture, yep. And you can see that. Okay, can you describe that for people who might not know what that is?
Yeah, that is a really miserable old man and an old woman next to him in front of a house. I thought it was a barn. It's a house. They look like they've not had sex in many, many years. They look a bit like miserable librarians.
Okay, that's a fairly decent description.
Mm-hmm. Is he wearing dungarees?
He is wearing dungarees. Yeah, interesting. So, what I found out about this particular picture was it was painted by Grant Wood, who is an American painter. And let me just get to my notes while I. Where are we? There we go. So as you quite rightly say, it depicts an old man and woman in front of a building. And the building was in a place called Eldon in Iowa.
Okay.
And Grant Wood sketched the house and then he added the people after. All right. So he was on a visit somewhere and he saw the house, liked it. And
thought, that's a nice house that could do with a really old, miserable couple
exactly.
in front of it.
And the thing is, when you read about it, he talks about the house and he talks about the fact that like the window at the top was the thing that sort of caught his eye the most.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, okay, well, that's quite prominent in the picture. But he's basically just stood two people in front of the house that you then can't see.
Is poor framing.
It really is. So the two people who are in this, mm-hmm. The man was actually his dentist.
Okay.
And the woman was actually his sister called Nan, which is really weird. Why would you have a sister called Nan?
Well, she looks more like a nan than a sister.
Yeah. Now, apparently what he did do for her to disguise her a little bit, he elongated her face a little bit to make
right.
her older.
Okay.
So he was the dentist and that was his sister.
So he chose his dentist and his sister.
His sister, yeah.
His sister, do you remember the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yes.
She looks like the grandmother out of that, doesn't
yes,
she?
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Granny Clampett.
And has the look as well with the dress and stuff. So I did a little bit about Iowa. Now, mm-hmm. Iowa has an area of 145,746 square kilometres. So you can fit whales into Iowa seven times. So first use of whales for a little while.
Excellent.
I haven't used whales for a while, have
no.
I? Yeah, so
seven whales is
seven
in Iowa.
Whales
Iowa.
Make up Iowa. Iowa is the state where Ozzy Osbourne did his infamous bat eating.
Okay.
Place he was at a concert in Des Moines, I think that's how you pronounce it, Des Moines. It was on the 20th of January 1982, and there was a 17-year-old fan named Mark Neal who threw a bat on the stage, and Ozzy Osbourne thought it was a fake one and bit the head off it, only to realise that it wasn't fake, it was actually a real bat.
Ugh.
Yeah, and he then had to go to hospital for rabies shots. So do you know, this is a random get, if you get this, I will be very, very impressed.
Okay, be prepared to be
impressed.
Do
you know what the state bird of Iowa is? I'll give you three guesses.
Okay. Iowa's landlocked, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's Midwestern.
So I'm going for an eagle.
No.
No. Magpie.
Smaller than an eagle.
Magpie?
No. Smaller than a magpie.
Oh, blue tit.
Oh, that's close. That's a good guess. It's actually the goldfinch.
The goldfinch.
Goldfinch is the state bird of Iowa. I don't have the year, but do you know the actor Rob Lowe?
Yes.
Yeah, so he was in a PGA Pro-Am celebrity golf tournament, again, in West Des Moines, and he hit a golf ball and killed a goldfinch in mid-flight. And somebody calculated the odds of him being able to do that, of him killing the state bird with a golf ball, and they came out with 1 in 747 million chance of it happening.
That is amazing.
I know, yeah.
Did it genuinely actually happen?
Yeah, I've got nothing other than this to tell me that it did or it didn't. But yeah,
so he just smacked a golf ball. Hit a golf ball,
and it just happened to hit. Just happened to hit
a goldfinch.
A goldfinch, yeah.
Excellent.
Now, obviously, you know, it's a state bird, but I would imagine there's more than one.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. No. The chance of him hitting the one and only state bird in...
Because that would have been a bad thing to do.
That really would. In a state that's got an area of 145,746 square kilometres to find the only goldfinch and kill it.
You play golf, yeah. Right? How many times have you seen a bird come down?
Hitting anything... you know, deliberately being able to do that. You could do it accidentally. You can hit something, but you're hitting a small object into a big vast area. So, chances are pretty slim. More than 25% of the state's electricity comes from wind power, which is quite a big thing. Now, this is based on previous data. They said there's more than 3,200 wind turbines, which is the highest concentration in the country.
But they kill a few goldfinches.
Yeah, absolutely. Take them out of the air with a whoop. And they were saying that the state hopes to get up to 40% by 2020. So
even more goldfinches are going to go. Yeah,
so we're 4 years beyond that, so I don't know whether they've achieved it.
So when they start sniffing out tomatoes, yeah. When you want to get worried.
Call back. There are more pigs than humans in Iowa.
More pigs?
Pigs, yeah.
Okay.
As of 2013, so this is, 11 years ago, the state's pig population was 21.2 million animals, whereas the human population was just north of 3 million. So it's seven times more pigs.
Presumably these are all on farms.
I'm assuming so.
So this is Iowa like the ham state?
I can only assume so that yes, a lot of pork products come out of Iowa. Clear Lake, Iowa, is where the music died. So Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and JP the Big Bopper Richardson all died when their plane crashed into a field in 1959. Now, Waylon Jennings...
Were they all on the same plane?
They were all on the same plane. Now, Waylon Jennings, who was part of Holly's band, was supposed to be on the flight, but he gave his seat to Richardson because he wasn't well. So Jennings took the bus instead, and Holly jokingly said to him he hoped he'd freeze on the bus. And Jennings replied, "I hope your old plane crashes." And it haunted him ever since. And he said, "God almighty, for years I thought I caused it."
He
did. You imagine having that.
Yeah.
"I hope your plane crashes," and it did, and killed them all. Particularly as he was meant to have been on the flight.
That is, yeah, that's really, I hate things like that.
Yeah.
It's like those Final Destination films.
Yeah, I only saw one of those fairly recently. I saw the first one fairly recently. I'd never seen it before, but yeah, it was a bit freaky. So going back to the painting. His dentist, Brian McKeeby, is his name.
Is that who it is?
Yeah,
Brian McKeeby.
Supposedly. And like I say, his sister, Nan, was the other.
I would not want that man being my dentist.
No. So he says, shortly after the painting was finished, the farmers and their wives nearby thought that they were being ridiculed. Those people became fans when they realised that Nan posed for the painting. So the fact that his sister was in it It changed her thought. Yeah. And in
so they were thinking that's taking the piss, and then they find out it's his sister. No, he wouldn't put his sister in there and take the piss.
Yeah, maybe his dentist. And in 1977, the magazine Hustler showed a topless version of the painting. So his sister Nan wasn't too happy with that. She thought people had thought she would have authorised it, but she didn't. Which is a bit dodgy, isn't it? Anyway, this brings me on to somebody called Painless Parker.
Painless Parker.
So Painless Parker. This is there's a dentist link here,
right?
So in 1872, a guy called Edgar Painless Parker. He wasn't christened Painless Parker. He became Painless Parker for later on in life. But Edgar Parker was born, right? And at that time, it was considered highly unethical for a dentist to advertise their business in any way. Right, so
why?
They weren't allowed to. I have no idea. They weren't allowed to advertise for trade. When Parker was set, and I'll come back to why that's relevant in a minute. But when he was 17, he wanted to become a doctor, but his mother didn't want him to. And his mother basically said that, like, she was a sincere believer in Christian Science, and as such, did not believe in medicine. So she said, I will have no son of mine become a doctor of medicine. All right. So on his family's insistence, he agreed to go to a phrenologist to decide his future.
Was that kind of reading the head?
Yeah, the head bumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the lumps and bumps. There's a brilliant thing in Terry Pratchett books. I think it's in Guards, where there's a retrophrenologist. And a retrophrenologist is somebody, he puts a grid on the head of the person. If they want certain personality traits, he hits them on the head with a hammer so a bump comes up, which I love. But yeah, phrenologists, they read the bumps in the skull and tell you what you're going to be. So she wasn't happy for him to be a doctor because she believed in Christian Science,
but
sent him to a phrenologist to tell him what his future was going to be. And this phrenologist said that he should become a dentist. So, dentist, doctor, I don't know. So, he attended the New York College of Dentistry, and he paid for his expenses by going door to door and offering teeth cleaning services.
Door to door teeth cleaner.
Door to door teeth cleaner. Yeah.
You get a
smack in the mouth. It's like Bob Jobwick, isn't it? Yeah.
Hello, do you want your teeth cleaned?
Yeah. He was expelled, though, for practising without a licence. So despite that, he carried on working as a travelling dentist, and then he used his funds to enrol in another school, the Philadelphia Dental School. So he went to Philadelphia. And then he opened a small practice in New Brunswick. But because it was unethical for a dentist to advertise, he didn't get any... patients. He couldn't make any money.
How are you going to, and why? Why is it so unethical?
I don't know.
People got against dentists?
I don't know. And so, although he swore that he would never be, he'd never be unethical, he said he would be ethical at all costs. In fact, in 6 weeks, he'd only earned 75 cents. So he decided to change strategies. Mm-hmm. So, he started off by delivering like an informative speech about oral hygiene, mm-hmm. which sounded like a sermon about the evils of not taking care of your teeth properly. So he went out into the crowds and told people. And then when he finished, he would offer to extract teeth from anybody from the crowd for 50 cents. And he gave a unique guarantee. And the guarantee was that he would give $5 to anyone who felt pain while he pulled their tooth out. Now, he didn't have $5. But what he did have was something called hydrococaine.
Okay.
So basically, he injected them with this hydrococaine so mm-hmm. they wouldn't feel the pain. Therefore, he didn't have to pay the dollar. And he started to make money like that. And that's when he dubbed himself Painless Parker.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
So that's where it comes from. Yeah.
Or Dealer Parker.
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah. And then soon, you know, after a while, he started to make enough money to support himself, and he started doing okay. And then he met somebody called Bill Beebe. I think his Beebe is B-E-E-B-E, right? Or Beebe, or something like Bill Beebe, who at one point was one of the ex-managers of P.T. Barnum. So
P.T. Barnum?
So P.T. Barnum, as in Barnum Circus. And traveling, you know, the freak show and things like that. Mm-hmm. So he was very exuberant with his publicizing his circuses. So this guy Painless Parker took on Bill Beebe as his agent and manager, and they started to change things up. And he said the first thing that he wanted to improve was for Parker's business was his advertising. And even though it was still considered very unethical, he thought, you know, what he was already doing was quite innovative,
mm-hmm.
by selling and doing these talks and things like that. So he just wanted to pep it up a little bit. So he put into place this plan for Painless Parker, and he opened a new dental office in New York. And then he went out on like a horse and cart. He had like newspaper ads, he had billboards, he had signs above abandoned buildings, and they were all sort of pointing to Painless Parker, the greatest all-round dentist in this world or the next. So he like went proper big stuff.
This world and the next.
Exactly. And they had slogans like, this is quite a cool one, Painless Parker, preeminent par excellence, positively painless perfection of practice, and philanthropically predisposed to popular prices. So that was one of the things that he did. And then he was one of the things that sort of stood out with me for this whole thing. One of the things was about popular prices, right? And one of the things that he wanted to do was make sure that he could get dentistry to the people who could least afford it. And
I like that.
Which is great. So he kept them low, mm-hmm. so people who didn't have, you know, working class people could go and get decent dentistry. And, you know, as we know now, decent dentistry can have a big effect on the rest of your health.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept his prices low. Obviously, that pissed off all of the other dentists. They didn't like it because he was charging next to nothing and getting all this business. And,
so is that why it wasn't considered ethical? Because of some big dentistry probably. Cartel?
Yeah. Yeah, more than likely. So he had this big office building in New York, and he used to have all these performers performing stunts outside to attract new business. So he had like acrobats called human flies scaling the building and things like that. And then when he went out on the road, the show just became really weird and strange. So he traveled across the country in a parade with actors and singers and contortionists and dancers and performers of all different varieties, and even a marching band. And he wore a top hat and tailcoat. He rode in a carriage which resembled a tooth. And he threw coins into the waiting crowd. And then the performers would put on this massive show, and then Parker would give a sermon about dental care. And then he was quoted as saying, "My friends, I want to tell you that God hates a man who neglects his teeth." So he went into the religious mm-hmm. element of it as well.
He's ticking all the boxes.
Absolutely. And then he would do, I think, where he put off what was considered a bit of a hoax, where he would have somebody planted in the audience, and he'd get them up on stage, and he'd pretend to painlessly pull their tooth out, but it was actually he'd pull a tooth, and it was one that had already been pulled, and it was mm-hmm. like it was fake. And then when the real patients came up on stage, he would inject them with hydrococaine, and then it would be known. But another strategy that he used to have would be that if he thought this person was going to cry out in pain, he would give a signal to the band, and the band
would
spark up, yeah, start playing really loud to hide the screams of the patient who just had their tooth taken out, which is, you know, a bit cheeky, really.
I like this guy. I like him a lot.
And then at a country fair in Poughkeepsie in New York, Painless Parker pulled 357 teeth, which he then strung all together and wore them as a necklace. which he had around his neck every time he performed. So he would turn up with these teeth on a necklace.
Why isn't this a film?
I know, it's great. Yeah. And like we said, like he was always fighting with other dentists because they didn't like the way he promoted his business. And there's so many dental associations that tried to change his reputation to that of a dentist gone bad. So they were really against him. And in the state of California, they made it illegal to practice dentistry under anything but your legal name. Now, obviously, he was practicing under
Painless Parker.
So they tried to stop him doing this by saying, you can only do it on your legal. So he changed his name. So he officially became Painless Parker and was able to carry on. And he was quoted as saying, they've done their best to hound me to death, but how many ethical dentists have got what I've got? And to me, I think, yes, he might have been a bit dodgy in a couple of things that he did, but I think if he brought dentistry to...
No, good on him. Good on you, Painless Parker.
Yeah, absolutely.
There has to be a film in that.
There's got to be, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, they've done it for like P.T. Barnum, haven't they? What was the film?
The Greatest.
Oh yeah, The Greatest Showman. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So you could add Painless Parker into that.
Yeah.
So.
I just love him. Yeah. I absolutely love him.
So that was where American Gothic.
Wow.
Took me. So, which is quite cool. So that must be. The end of part one.
Excellent.
Isn't it?
Is that quick?
That's quite quick. I think 41. And we've got a little bit to chop out as well. Yeah. So I think we're doing all right.
Brilliant.
So I'll put a little pause on and then we'll come back ready for part two.
I've tried to keep it all down to a more manageable amount this
time
round.
Yes, good thinking. Me too. I've done that massively with one of them just because I had no research that I could do. Yeah. So we'll be back for part two very soon.
And that was part one. Join us again next time where we cover sport and leisure and geography. If you want more information about Barking Toad and what we get up to, and if you'd like to get in touch, you can check out our website at barkingtoadcomedy.com. And don't forget to leave us a review. And tell your friends. Bye!